Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, let's just begin by going to the book of Acts chapter 3. I'm going to take just a few moments here and just kind of set our compass a little bit for 2021. Is anybody glad 2020 is over? Amen. We had some challenges for sure. But thank God, God saw us through.
Amen.
And, it's been a few weeks ago. I'll usually take some time and just seek God for, what do you have for, the coming year, But I didn't even have to do it this year. I thought about it, but then we got in a service about, maybe 3 weeks ago, and a prophetic word came forth, and the Lord said, what about 2021? Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
And he said 2021 would be a year of power.
Yes.
Now that's what he said for us. I don't know about the next church down the street and all that, but that's what he said for us. So expect some power this year.
Amen.
In your life and in our church also. Amen.
Yeah.
But what I want to talk about is going into this new year with some expectation.
Yeah.
And kind of shake off, we're just going to kind of shake off last year today before we go. And we're going to approach this in a new way. Amen?
Amen?
You know, maybe things didn't go the way you want 2020, and maybe, things didn't happen the way you thought they ought to happen. But hey, that's all the past. Let's move on.
Right.
And so we're going to talk about this. Title of our message today is A God of Hope.
Amen.
Acts chapter 3, let's go there and we'll begin. I want to read this to you. Acts chapter 3, verse 1, you got it?
Yep.
It says, now Peter and John, they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now the Jews had three times during the day where they prayed. They had nine in the morning, noon, and then this ninth hour was 3 p.m. So Peter and John are catching the late service. Amen. Maybe they slept in, I don't know. Or maybe they went to all three. Who knows? Let's just believe they went to all three. How about that? All right. So, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily. Everybody say daily.
Daily.
This was this guy's job, see. Daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, And one of my friends preached on this. He said he asked for alms and got legs. Anyway, so... You know what? How many know what alms are? That's money, right?
Yeah.
Giving. All right. So anyway, but see the Jews, they believe this, and I think it's scriptural. They believe that if you were going to go to another level, you had to take somebody to another level.
Yeah.
You had to help somebody else get to the next level in their life. So if you wanted to go up, you had to help somebody else go up. Well, these beggars knew this. See, they knew this. And that's why you'll read through the Gospels, you'll read through the Bible, you'll find these beggars outside the temple.
Right.
And then Israel had different schools of learning, where they taught the Bible. They were just Bible schools, so to speak. And these beggars would go to those Bible schools, and they would go to the temple, and they would lay there because they realized that these Orthodox religious Jews believed that you had to help somebody go to another level. For them to go to another level, they had to help you go to another level. And so they would lay there and beg for offerings. And I thought, well, it's not changed much in the church today. We still have beggars. The difference between a lot of the beggars we have today and the beggars back then is the beggars that back then really needed help. And some of our beggars today just need a job. Okay. Is this all right to say it this way? You know what I'm saying? I mean, they just need to go to work. If there was something wrong with them, then we'd gladly help them. But, you can't always trust everybody today. Now, verse 3 says, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms. Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them. Notice this. This is the phrase I want you to get. Expecting to receive something.
Right.
He was expecting.
Wow.
He was expecting to receive something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
All right.
We got to shake off 2020 and expect to receive something in 2021.
Amen.
He was expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. His wife had went to Walmart. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. How many know he had something better than silver and gold? He said, and he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Now notice this. And he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You talk about a miracle. Amen. This guy never walked. Never. Never. He'd been a cripple from his mother's womb. I mean, and then this power hits him. He's walking. Nobody taught him how to walk. He's not even walking. He's leaping and he's praising God. I mean, when it says his ankle bones and his feet receive strength, they really receive strength. I mean, just think about it. I mean, what's the age that, you know, I forget, you know. But what's the age that kids start walking now? One? Around one? Wouldn't it be something around one? Around one, your child got around one, you just grabbed it by the hand and lifted it up and said, walk! And it started leaping and walking and praising God. That's what happened here. I like it the way it is. It's a lot more fun and cute the way it is. You know, they learn and struggle and so forth. But it's just fun, you know, watch kids learn to walk, you know. Amen. Now, I wanted you to get this phrase that they were expecting something. Everybody say expecting something. You remember now, you know, you go back to Luke's gospel. You go back to chapter 5, where Jesus is there teaching. And the Bible says that, you know, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law that were there in the meeting, you know, was in a house, and they were all there. And then the Bible makes a statement that if you don't pay attention to it, you can really miss what's being said here and miss some really rich nuggets. It says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, this isn't good English, but I think you'll get it. If the power of the Lord was present to heal them, them must have needed healed. Right? I mean, God wouldn't, I mean, the God would know, right? I mean, he wouldn't like, I know there's nobody there that's sick, but here's some power to be healed. I mean, he wouldn't do that, right? So his power's manifested to heal them, but yet, in the midst of all that, only one person gets healed, and he's a guy that's not even in the meeting. He's a guy from the outside. Remember, how many remember the story? You know, the guy that had the palsy and his friends. Like one minister said, everybody needs four crazy friends. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying. You're already crippled, and now they're carrying you up on the roof. These are crazy friends. I don't know if you ever thought about this. These are crazy friends. I mean, just think, if you tried to get in church this morning and it was so packed out, and four of your friends said, I can get you in. And they carry up on the roof. And they start cutting a hole in the roof. First of all, your friends better know how to fix that roof. You know, somebody owned this place, right? And, but you know, and they let this guy down through the roof. They tore the roof. You know, a roof's a roof. You know, you need a roof. You know, a roof's a roof, you know. And so they tore his roof up, whoever house it was. Some people think it was Jesus' house. Might have been. And they let the guy down. And when the Bible says Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith. He saw. See, faith can be seen. Expectation can be seen. Right? It can be seen. It can be seen on your face sometimes. I've had people say, boy, that really blessed me. I thought, well, I wish you'd just tell your face. It is part of your body, you know.
That's right.
So, but they let this guy down, and Jesus said unto him, he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. The man was healed. Amen. But why? Why weren't the others healed? Because there wasn't any expectation. They didn't expect anything. Matter of fact, when he healed them, you know what they said? He said, man, your sins are forgiven you. Remember that? He said that. See, Brother Eddie taught us about that. It was really rich and good. Yeah. Remember what he said? You know, if their belief was that God wouldn't heal you unless he first forgave you, and only God could forgive you. So when Jesus forgave the man, And then they said, who could forgive sins but God alone? He said, to show you that I have power to forgive sins, rise, take up your bed and walk. So he just made them eat it, didn't he? You know, I've had about Jesus. Okay, maybe you don't love that about Jesus. I love it about Jesus that he knew how to put religious people in their place. You understand? I mean, he loves sincere people. But phonies, he knew how to put them in their place. But what I wanted to say was this guy was the only, and his friends, obviously his friends expected something, or they wouldn't have done this, went to this trouble. They'd have just, let's go get something to eat. You know, the meeting's filled up, we can't get in. They wouldn't take no for an answer. They were expecting something. You see, when Brother John was talking about the offering, you have to do your part. You have to do your part. You have to press in faith and obedience. Yeah. Expectation. Amen? Amen. Now I want to look at just a few scriptures. I'm not going to go long, but we're going to take our time with this just a little bit. All right. Romans chapter 15, go over there. Because what I want to do is just stir you up that you don't just drag 2020. Into 2021. Now, let me say this about 2020. I was fine in 2020. And I think most of you were too, if you trusted God. And we'll talk about that just a little bit more. But let's go to Romans chapter, but go to Romans 15, but let's just admit there was some trying things, wasn't there? I mean, just all over the place things. I mean, it's like our world went crazy overnight. But it wasn't overnight. It's been touched for a long time. But it really manifested in 2020, a lot of things. And so, but that's not the church, folks. I said, that's not the church. Let me tell you something. I believe in voting. I believe in praying and seeking God and voting for the right person, the person that, is more in line with God's word. And I'm not just talking about their personal personality. I'm talking about what they do. You understand that? Just because somebody acts sweet and nice and syrupy doesn't mean they do good things. I'm sorry to burst your bubble if it does. But I believe in it, but they're not our Savior. They don't have any control over the church whatsoever. The President of the United States, the Vice President, the Supreme Court, the Congress, they don't control the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church.
Amen.
And the government's been saying no to the church for years. Just go back and read the book of Acts, but God said yes. In the book of Acts, they threw them in prison, and the angel said, get out of there, boys. Go preach. Herod messed with the church, See, here's the thing. We talk about, Brother Eddie was mentioned about the pandemic and all. Let me just tell you something about God. God doesn't send bad things on his people. But you go messing with the church, and there's a scripture in Thessalonians says it's a righteous thing with God to repay trouble on those that trouble the church. That's what the Bible says. And so Herod just, man, he is troubling the church. He's messing with the church. He had Peter in prison, James killed, messing with the church. And there's a day he's just going up and talking about how wonderful and great he is. And the angel of the Lord smote him, said, I had enough of you. And that was it for Herod. Well, God, sometimes the government thinks they can tell the church what to do. You want some worms? I believe I'd just stick in my place and stay out of the church. Amen. Now, all right. Have you found Romans chapter 15? Let's just read one verse. Verse 13 says, now the God of hope. He's a God of what? Now, what? He's a God of what? God's a God of hope. God's a God of hope. Now, notice what it says. The God of hope fill you. That's me and you, right? With all joy and peace in believing, that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So God's a God of hope, and he says, I want you to be people of hope that abound in hope. What does abound mean? Increase, have more than enough, overflow, right? See, one of the meanings of hope is this, an extreme expectation of good or an intense anticipation. Remember that commercial years ago? What was that about? Anticipation.
Ketchup.
Some people get excited over anything. Remember that. See, that's what hope is. Listen to that definition, all right? An extreme. I said an extreme expectation of good. If what you're expecting isn't a little bit on the extreme side, maybe it's not enough. I'm not talking about unscriptural. I'm talking about extreme. That means beyond what you can do. Right? I mean, if all you're expecting is what you can accomplish, then you're not high enough yet. You got to go a little higher than that. God can do, come on, anybody know the scripture? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Well, what power works in us? Well, you go up a few verses there in Ephesians. He said that you might be strengthened with might by his power in your inner man. Talking about the Holy Spirit who's living inside of you. There's a dynamo living inside of you. Right? See, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And literally, when you study that word out, that earthen vessels, it you could say cracked pots. Now, this is kind of a little humor, but the reason I'm saying it is because it literally means like China. You know how you got your good China? Yeah, we got, ours is in the garage. It's in a box. Right? Yeah. I guess we're saving it there for, you know, when we pass on. I don't know. Oh, that was my grandmother's, and maybe she kept it in a box in her garage. I don't know. But you know what we use? We use our Walmart stuff. We really had some nice stuff one time, and it's like, this is just too heavy. We gave it away. Let's buy some Walmart stuff. And it seems to work. Basically, that treasure in earthen vessels means that you're Walmart China. You're imperfect. There's imperfections. So we look at ourselves on the outside and we think, you know, sometimes we don't like our body shape. I mean, some of that you can change. But, you know, we don't like the way we look, our nose, you know, and all that. I mean, I know you can get plastic surgery, but who wants to do all that stuff? I mean, if your nose, you don't like your nose, they can like shorten your nose and stuff now. I'll just keep mine, okay? But, you know, if you want to do that, you could do that. But see, people look at their outward man, their outward body, and they think, man, you can always find imperfections. I mean, if you're one of these people that you think you're perfect, well, then you need some good scriptures read to you because none of us are. On the outside, none of us are, but on the inside, God has put his glory in us. Remember we talked about, I think it was Wednesday night, we talked about how Moses' tabernacle, how you saw it from the outside, it didn't look like much. His badger skin's dried red. I mean, what can you do with a badger skin? Oh, you want to see my badger skin coat? No, I don't want to see your badger skin coat. Maybe your mink coat, but not your badger skin. See, what are we saying? It didn't look like much on the outside, but when you got inside, it was just covered with gold. It was beautiful. So that's the way we are. We may not look much on the outside. You may look at yourself and think, man, how could God use me? You're just looking on the outside. You're not seeing what's on the inside. Amen? And so He said, we've got to do something called abound with hope. Amen. 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 Now, see, you understand something about hope. Hope's vital for us. Expectation. Hope and expectation are the same thing. It's what are you expecting? What are you expecting to happen in 2021? expecting change, expecting good things, because you'll get what you expect. So what are you expecting? Expecting, you know, to listen. You say, well, you know, if the wrong person gets an office, we're just not going to have. I already told you, they don't have anything to do with the church.
That's right.
Come on, are you with me now? See, a lot of people, see, you're just looking at it in the natural. Amen. I saw this special one time. It was a little clip about this area of the world over in South or maybe Central America, that all the countries around are impoverished, in drought, impoverished, because a lot of those are agrarian societies. They live off the crops and so forth. And so there was this one particular village that was prospering, and their crops were flourishing. It showed them harvesting them. And what it amounted to was this was a village that dedicated themselves to God Almighty and praised and worshiped Him and had faith in Him and served Him, where the others around them didn't. And God's blessing was right there, right in the middle of all this mess. I mean, it was something to see. Watch these people with their crops and how they were blessed. And man, some of the fruit and some of the vegetables I remember seeing were humongous, giant. Well, it was simply because of the blessing of God, see. Amen. So they began to expect God to do some things. You know, I mean, so what? It's bad all around them. Hey, we serve God.
Amen.
Come on now. Now, all right, let's go to Jeremiah. We'll close right here. Did you get something today?
Yeah.
Jeremiah 7, I know it's short, but we took up a lot of time before the service, just communion and stuff. But I'm not done yet either, all right? Jeremiah chapter 17, go there, and we'll talk about here. One of the things, see, a lot of times we think about how important faith is. You know, how many know faith is important, right? We preach a lot on faith, right? I mean, love's important. But did you know that in Corinthians, it lumps hope in there with them? Paul said, now abides faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Why? Because faith and hope, in a sense, are going to pass away, in the sense that once we get to heaven, there's nothing else to use your faith on. You have arrived. There's no, your expectation, I don't know how to say this, but it's just like, you don't need them, those forces there, because you've already got it. But you still need love, right? Because God is love. He's not hope, He's not faith. He has hope, He has faith. He's a God of hope, but that's not what He is. He is love. So, when you understand that, but yet God saw to it fit to lump hope along with faith and love to let us know just how important they are. But yet sometimes we don't think, you know. Listen, I can tell sometimes by just people's face, their way they talk, their demeanor, that they don't have much hope about them. They don't have much expectation. Right? Well, it's a good day. It's a great day out. Yeah, but it might rain. Well, it might. It might be cloudy. Well, it might. It's southern Indiana. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's usually cloudy from December to March. It's one of the lovely things about our climate here. It's like every third week the sun comes out. It might. But you don't have to. You don't have to have that down spirit about you. You should have an expectation spirit about you. Why? Because you serve the God of hope. And He wants you to abound in hope. Hallelujah. I've often said, if we had a healing line, the first 10 people I prayed for died, I'd expectantly pray for number 11. I think we need some good news. You know, Brother Hagin said he had a guy die in his prayer line. I mean, he's got a healing line. Guy dies. That's encouraging. Brother Hagin said, we just stretched him out on the platform and kept on praying. You know, he was an old man. He lived out his time. There are, you know, see, there, you know, how many ever heard of the thing, you know, the glass half full, the glass half empty? There's half empty Christians. It's always bad, it's always negative. But then there's the, it's half full. See, kids have a great way of just having expectation. You ever notice that? I mean, they just, I don't care, man. I mean, you could just have a tornado go through town, blow the roof off your house, blow your car in the next county, and they're going to be excited about something. It's like, cool, the roof's gone. This is great. It's like camping out. Praise God. They have an expectation. You ever notice they don't see obstacles either? You ever notice that? I mean, you can be like, we just don't have the money. That's not an obstacle to them. They don't see obstacles. Amen. See, that's the way God wants His people to be. He doesn't want us to see giants. He wants us to see victory.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Oh, there's giants out there. We realize that. But that's not what we're to focus on. We're to focus on what He said. God proved through David. He knew what to do with giants. I mean, think about that big hunk of beef that came out there, 9 foot something, and David is like, you know, 17 years old. But God knew what to do with him. Amen. Now, let me say this to you about why you need hope, so bad expectation. Let me just say this. How many remember the scripture in Hebrews 11:1, that says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What does that mean? Faith comes in and it gives substance to hope. In other words, it supports it. It brings it to pass. Whereas if you don't have any expectation, your faith doesn't have anything to do. It's going to be idle. You got to give your faith a job, and that's by expecting something good to happen. Amen. Now, here in Jeremiah, well, you know, the King James, it says this. It says go to Jeremiah if you would, Jeremiah 17, but let me give you this scripture. The King James in Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision. What does that mean? See, what happens is this. If you get a vision, your faith will rise to the level of it. Once you really have a strong vision, obstacles don't mean a thing. Just the vision. Now, here in Jeremiah 17, come on, are you with me now?
Yes.
All right, verse 5. Come on, let's go there. Verse 5, everybody say, I got it. Verse 5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, that makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. Cursed is the man that trusts in man. Now, I said this Wednesday night, but I want to repeat it again. You know, 2020 wasn't the best of years for some church people, for some ministries, for some churches. There are churches that went out of business, if you could say it that way. They folded. They closed their doors. They didn't have money. They didn't have people. There are, no doubt, traveling ministries that went out of business, so to speak. They didn't have any place to preach. But yet, I know churches and I know traveling ministers that flourished through the whole thing. Now, I've got a friend. That's what he's been breaking into traveling ministry. You know, it takes a little time to get going full time in traveling ministry. You got to get enough places asking you to come and preach. And so he's in that mode of breaking into full time traveling ministry. Great minister. We've been friends for a number of years, and I know for years he's been trying to just break in full time. But in the process, because he wasn't full time, he had his own business. He owned a business. And all these years, he wanted to get rid of that business because he just wants to travel full time and do what God put on his heart to do, right? So he wants to do that. And so, you know, but he has to have the business to take care of financially his wife and things at home.
Yeah.
All right. So he had to do what he's got to do, right? Faith does what it does, what's got to do. So, but this year, last year, 2020 was the year he was able to get rid of his business and go full time in the ministry and not have any place to preach. Or not many places to preach. How do you do that? It's called trusting God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. See, he flourished when others were cursed because he didn't say, oh no, look, nope, the churches aren't having meetings. He even did some churches invite him to come and do their live stream for him. And he was able, he's been wanting to do this for years, but this was the year of the pandemic, the year of, oh, it's bad, was the year he was able to go full-time in ministry and sell his business.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, what's the difference? Well, the difference between him and other ministers and churches like ours and other churches that's kept prospering and flourishing and those that didn't is we didn't put our trust in that. We didn't put our trust in being able to open our doors. We didn't put our trust in having people here. There were times it was Scott and I. I mean, it was a great, great meeting. He and I know how to have church. But, you know, it was Scott and I. And, you know, for quite a while, it was like mail in your tithe, you know, whatever. Yet we flourished through it all. Because we didn't allow that to take our confidence away. Now, how does a traveling minister flourish when he has no place to preach? It has to be God. Amen. Now, notice what it says as we close out. He says, for he, verse 6, shall be like a heath in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land and not inhabited. Now, I have in my Bible, not inhabited by the Spirit of God. See, if you trust in the flesh, your land's not going to be inhabited by the Spirit of God, spiritually speaking. Blessed is the man. This is what we want to be, right? Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. In other words, your expectation comes from God. Didn't we read the verse? He's a God of hope. So if he's a God of hope, why can't we be people of hope? We should be. We should be abounding in hope. Well, this ain't nothing to hope for. Well, there is. There's God. There's His Word.
Amen.
For He shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful or anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You know what? If you'll just make up your mind, you're going to trust God. You're going to have your hope in God, not in the flesh, not in the circumstances. You're going to prosper.
Amen.
I saw that in 2020. I saw that with different friends, ministers, ministries, churches. But you know what else I knew? Here's what else I saw. I saw some, even friends, no judgment. You can observe. I'm not naming anybody, so how many know we're not slandering? But I saw friends begin to talk about what could happen, how bad it could get, and that's not what the Bible says to do. Did you know the Bible tells us, now see, here's the King James says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. That word there, faith, that the King James uses the word faith, it's actually the word elpis, and it's actually the word hope. See, most translations say hope. Let us hold fast the confession of our expectation. In other words, start talking what you expect.
Amen.
I didn't talk, you know, hey, we can't have church, and, you know, we're going to be in trouble. Matter of fact, the government even volunteered to bail us out. Seriously, it was like government money offered for churches. You know, we didn't take any of it because I don't, you know, I'm not saying it was wrong for churches to take it, but I didn't need it. I don't need your money. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that was my attitude. You know, well, you know, you can file. Ministers, get contact me, send me emails. Man, you can file and get money from the government. Well, normally I'm for that. Right? I mean, it's our money. How many know that? They're so magnanimous to give you some of your money back. And pat himself on the back. Didn't we do wonderful? We gave you some of your money back. Don't brag. I said, don't brag, because it was our money. But, you know, they were what they call PPP loans, which you didn't have to pay back. I don't know why it was called a loan if you didn't have to pay it back. Well, if you misused it, you had to pay it back. But I said, no. I, first of all, I don't want the government in my business. Secondly, I'm not expecting for our income to go down. See, it's subtle, but you just do those things and they'll get you in trouble. Amen. So what should we do 2021? Anybody know? Okay. I got time. You got time. We should expect some things, man. Not just, you know, oh my God, it didn't go my way, it didn't go our way, whatever, this didn't happen my way, and this is still going on. And about time we think we got the coronavirus whooped and something else happened in California, and they got a new strain. Uh-oh, well, some of you didn't know that. Oh, sorry. Oh my gosh. You know, new stuff coming out. You know, what's going to happen now? You know, I said, hey, listen, you know, here's the problem with a lot of the reporters today. They haven't been on the earth long enough to know we've had this stuff before. This is not the first time. It's called the devil. It isn't the first time. But if you listen to them, it's the end of the world, man. Life's never going on, never going back to normal like it should, you know. And it's a bless their hearts. I'm closing. Come on, have patience with me. I'm closing. I appreciate those that are honest and are trying to help and so forth like that, but they don't got a clue either. God's got it. He knows, but they don't. Come on. You know, we got all these regulations. You know, I think if all this stuff works, why is the tightest places, the tightest shutdown places, have the worst outbreaks? Explain that one to me. I'm not against anything anybody's trying to do. Help yourself. But I just figure this much. I'll just expect mine to come from God. Amen. My lot in life will come from Him, not from CNN or any other news organization. Whatever God said in His Word, that's my lot in life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's good, isn't He? Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.